Good evening. I threaten not to sing. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you how good I sing, or she would say how bad. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Yeah, I spent some time today on my iPad. And on my iPad, I have a site that gives you news. And what I saw today was interesting. I saw a young girl, 14, who was murdered accidentally. A man who was attacking a woman was shot and killed. I read about COVID. I read about an accident, which a number of people were killed. I read about a lot of suffering in this world. And all of us in one place or another have faced some type of suffering, whether it has been because of someone else's actions, whether it's been because of an accident, whether it's been because of sickness such as cancer or COVID or Parkinson's disease. It could be because of marital abuse or because of child abuse or because of divorce. This world has seen all kinds of suffering. And in fact, alcohol, drugs, robbery, all been there. And as I read Matthew chapter 1, beginning of verse 18, I read a very interesting story about the account of the birth of Christ, and there's a phrase in there I think is very important for us to see how appropriate it is for today. In verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." That phrase, "he shall save his people from their sins." Inherent in that phrase is suffering. Inherent in that phrase is that the Son of God, who took upon human flesh, would experience some of the most awful, terrible suffering that any person could ever experience. Not because of anything he did, but because of things that he had to do in order to relieve us of our suffering, relieve us of our sins, relieve us of our guilt, so that we may one day enter into glory because we know he died for us in our stead. And as I read through the scriptures, I come across a passage in Peter, and you don't have to follow along as I read. It says, "For this you were called," referring to the people that Peter is writing to, "for this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that he should follow in his steps." Christ suffered for us. "Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Who himself bore our sins, his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." It talks about the suffering of Christ again. And it seems to indicate that if we follow him, that we too will suffer. Peter goes on to say, if you suffer for something wrongfully, what glory is it? But when you suffer for doing good, that is when God develops within us the character we need to have developed that we might be able to walk in his steps. Jesus is described here as the shepherd, the great shepherd. If you look in the scriptures, you'll find in Luke 15 the story of the shepherd who seeks after the one lost sheep while 99 are safe in the fold. Lost sheep. That's what we are, lost sheep, before we came to know Christ as our Savior. We're lost to God because our relationship with him is broken and we have no relationship. We're lost to ourselves because we don't know where we are and how to get to where we need to go. We just wander aimlessly about. We're lost to the flock. We're separated from it, and so forth. We no longer have safety. We no longer have protection and provision. And so this one lost sheep wandered astray, but the shepherd leaves behind the 99, and the shepherd goes to seek that one lost sheep. See, the solution to our problem is the shepherd, one who suffered, who did not need to suffer because he knew no sin. He also said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. I'd like to take you back to 1875, Christmas Eve, on a riverboat, river steamer, going down the Delaware River. This is a true account, and what I'm going to read to you, because I can't keep all the facts together without reading it, is someone who's taken the long account and shortened it for an illustration. But it's a true account that took place Christmas Eve, 1875. A very stocky, mustachioed man nervously paced the deck on the Delaware River steamer. Unbuttoning his frock coat and regularly removing his derby to wipe his brow, he looked much older than his 35 years. It was unseasonably warm for Christmas Eve. The man stared at the passing Pennsylvania shoreline, thinking of his family in Newcastle, Pennsylvania, some 300 miles to the west, who he wanted to see on Christmas Day, but he had to make the connection with the train in Philadelphia, and he was worried about that. And all of a sudden, he was approached. Pardon me, sir. Are you Ira Sankey, gospel singer? He smiled and said, yes, I'm Ira Sankey. Well, we've seen your pictures in the newspaper, and we want to know if you would sing tonight for us. And he, realizing that it was something he didn't want to hear, it was something he thought about, not today, not tonight. He was tired and fretfully and warm. But Mr. Sankey, would you sing for us? It's Christmas Eve. We'd love to hear you. Finally, Mr. Sankey said he would sing, and his presence was announced loudly across the deck. As the people gathered, he pondered what he might sing. He wished he had his portable organ, which had become an integral part of his singing. But no matter, he would sing a Christmas carol or two, unaccompanied. Perhaps he would get the passengers to sing along with him. He tried to shed his melancholy. He was a famous person, whether he liked it or not. He was not normally shy about his gifts. He was also known on two continents as the gospel singer, the song leader, and a soloist working with D.L. Moody. But this day was different. Perhaps God had it intended that this day would be in the right place on the right boat at a particular time. He thought, I should sing a carol or two, and then he added, but somehow I feel I should sing another song, he told the group gathered. And one of the people shouted out, sing one of your own songs. Another shouted, sing the 99. No, thank you. I know what I must sing. He was smiling broadly now, feeling much better about himself and his situation, enjoying his congregation. I shall sing a song by William Bradbury. And if you know it, I'm sure many of you do, hum it along with me. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast brought us, thine we are. Sankey went on and sang all three verses. It was uncommon silence, and Ira Sankey felt it would be appropriate to sing nothing else. So he simply wished everyone a Merry Christmas, and the people murmured a greeting in return, and the silence returned, and he was alone. Out of the shadows, a man stepped forth and said, "Your name is Ira Sankey?" Yes, he recognized neither the voice nor the man. The man came from the shadows to his surprise. He was about his own age, with a beard beginning to turn gray, and comfortably but not fashionably dressed. Perhaps he was a traveling man. "Were you ever in the army, Mr. Sankey?" "Yes, I was. I joined in 1860. "I wonder, can you remember back to 1862? Did you ever do guard duty at night in Maryland?" "Yes, I did." Sankey felt a stab of memory and excitement. "It might have been at Sharpsburg. I was in the army too, the Confederate army, and I saw you that night." Sankey looked at him very wearily. "You were parading in your blue uniform. I had you in my sights. You were standing there in the light of the full moon, which was right foolish of you, you know." The man paused, "and you began to sing." Amazingly, Sankey remembered. "You sang that same gospel song you sang tonight, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us." "I remember," said Sankey. The man said, "My mother sang that song a lot. I never expected any soldier to be singing it at midnight on guard duty, especially a Union soldier." The man sighed. He said, "I put my gun down, and I listened, and I couldn't bring it back up to shoot you." Sankey said, "I'm obviously grateful." The man said, "I always wondered who you were, who it was I didn't kill that night on account of the singing of an old Sunday school song." Sankey just shook his head. "Frankly, until tonight, the name Ira Sankey wouldn't have meant much to me. Guess I don't read the paper like I should. I didn't know you had turned out to be so famous." The man smiled for the first time. "But I reckon you would have recognized, I would have recognized that voice anywhere, any place." Sankey reflected on what might have been. The man said, "Do you think you can talk to me? I think you owe it to me. Very little has gone right for me, neither before the war nor during or since after." Ira Sankey put his arm around the former enemy, and they found a place in a quiet corner of the deck to sit and to chat. Sankey's impatience and anger had passed. He no longer fretted that he might be delayed in seeing his family. That night, an old Confederate soldier found Jesus Christ as his Savior. For Sankey, Christmas would soon be here. It always came, but sometimes in the strangest ways. The night was still and warm, but it seemed filled with bright stars. Without comment, I want to read to you a passage from the Old Testament that will make you understand all that happened. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 53. "Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form or comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him, for he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our sorrows and carried our Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were all healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. Jesus will be his name, and he shall save his people from their sins. He bore it all for us, that we might know him and have eternal life. Father, thank you for our time in your word. Christmas is not about what happened today only, but about what was going to happen because of today when our Savior was born. Thank you for your love for us, and we pray that you'll speak to our hearts and challenge us in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.